If you are a child at this time, I am actually going to welcome you to come up here and to build a circle, because we have two parts to our message this morning. And the first part I want to show to you guys especially. So I'm going to sit here, and if you're a kid, I know circles can be hard, but we have a lot of practice doing them. So let's all try to sit in a circle. And even if you're not sitting in the circle, this is for you. So, let's see. I might need to scoot this way, actually. And actually, will everyone scoot back? Like, at least one big scoot back. That will give it. Perfect. Okay, great. Well, this morning I have a story for you. And it's kind of like the godly play stories that we tell sometimes, but it's pretty different, and I'll tell you why. It's because I didn't have our story, so I kind of had to make my own story at home. And this is something that you guys can do sometimes if you want to be creative and do some work at home, is you can make a story at home out of things you can find. And so everything in this story is things that I found in my own home and had to be creative to do it. And your home, yes. Okay, so first I need to get my story, so here it is. Oh, man. This is a box, and it's gold. I think this is a parable. Gold is very precious, and look, this one is kind of glittery. It kind of looks like a present. Parables are presents. They were given to us even before we were born. It looks old, too. Parables are very old. You know what's funny about a parable? Parables have doors. Sometimes when you come to a parable, it opens for you. But sometimes when you come, you knock, and it stays closed. But if you ever come and you knock and it stays closed, just keep coming back, because one day it will open for you. Let's begin. What do we need here? What do we have? Okay. Okay. Oh, man. What could this be? A scarf? It's very yellow. What else could it be? Sand? Ooh, sand. Yeah, it changes shape. Any other ideas? A table runner. Yes, for my little table, for my stuffies. Perfect. Any other ideas? Maybe it's a beam of sunlight. A pathway? Okay. A sandy pathway. Jesus told parables to show the people what the kingdom of God was like. This is one of the parables that he told. A sower went out to sow seed. And some of the seed that the sower sowed fell on the path. And the birds came and ate up the seed. Some of the seeds that the sower sowed fell on rocky grounds. And because the ground, there wasn't much soil there, the seeds sprang up quickly. But when the sun rose, they were scorched because they didn't have much soil to grow from. Some of the seeds that the sower sowed fell among the thorns. Those thorns are pokey. And when the seeds started to grow, the thorns choked them out. Some of the seed fell on the good soil. And it produced some 30 times, some 60 times, and some 100 times. Now, I wonder who the sower could really be. Jovi? Grandpa-by.
It's Grandpa-by.
Okay.
It's a claw.
Okay. I wonder how the sower felt when the birds ate the seed that fell on the path. No, please stop. I wonder how the sower felt when the seed was eaten by the birds on the path.
Frustrated.
Why? Why? What do you mean? They can still grow? The birds? Oh, you think he felt fine because the birds got something to eat. Okay. I wonder what the sower was doing when the seeds were growing in the rocky soil. I need everyone to be ready. I wonder what the sower was doing when the seeds were trying to grow in the rocky soil. Yes, Story?
There's a fly.
Those aren't yours. Yes, Jovi. I wonder why he threw them on all the kinds of soil, even the bad kinds.
Because he's a troll. A toy.
I wonder what the sower was doing when the seeds were trying to grow in the thorny soil.
It's
I wonder what the sower was doing when the seeds were growing in the good soil. I wonder where this whole place could be.
On a scarf.
On a scarf.
It is on a scarf. See, it's a scarf.
Mm-hmm.
So I was
in the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere.
I know, on your head. On your head.
Story.
In heaven.
In heaven?
Wait, what?
No way.
Jubilee. Right here? Right here.
It is right here.
It is right here.
See, Jubilee and me are white.
Okay. This is the sower. This is what was produced 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown. This is the good soil. These are the thorns where some of the seed were sown. These are the rocks where some of the seed fell.
Which was the seed?
This is the path.
Actually, that's a game.
Yeah, that's a game.
Yeah, that's a game.
Yeah, that's a game. Yeah. I said I
these are the
that.
Birds that ate the seed that fell on the path. And this
is a scarf.
That you sew.
Yeah, you sew.
That I'm gonna eat the cherry tomatoes.
Now, you may rejoin your tables.
Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. They sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear." Then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear, then, the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord.
So there are two kinds of stories. And that's there are three kinds of stories. This is story. And there are two other kinds of stories. There are stories that are there to explain something that is explainable. And there are stories whose whole purpose is to say that this thing is not explainable. There's a story that goes like this, and maybe you've heard it before. There was a little shepherd boy who looked after sheep, but he was also kind of a jokester. And one day he got bored of watching his sheep, and he decided he wanted to play a trick on the villagers of his town. So he ran into the town and he cried, "Wolf, wolf, there's a wolf attacking the sheep." And the villagers, who were wanting to protect the sheep, ran out to help him defend the sheep, only to find the boy laughing and laughing because he had tricked the villagers. The next day, the boy got bored again. And he went into the village and he cried, "Wolf, wolf, there is a wolf attacking the sheep." And all the villagers ran out of the village to try to protect the sheep. But the boy was there just laughing and laughing. There was no wolf. And he said, "I got you. I tricked you twice." The next day, the boy was out in the field with the sheep. And he was thinking about getting bored. But then he saw at the edge of the forest near the clearing wolves coming out of the forest. He thought, "Today will not be boring." And he ran into the village to get help to save the sheep from the wolves. And he cried, "Wolf, wolf, there are wolves attacking the sheep." And he ran back to help protect his sheep. But the villagers, who had been tricked once, who had been tricked twice, shrugged their shoulders and went on with their day. And that was the last time anyone ever saw the boy or his sheep. If you have heard that story before, you also may know the moral of that story. What is the moral of that story? Well, that's the one we're talking about today. But what's the moral of that story? Anyone know? What were you saying? Don't cry wolf, right? Like, don't cry wolf. Don't lie about things that are important. Don't joke about serious things. There is a clear moral to that story. It's one I like to tell to my kids because I don't know why. It just rings true from generation to generation. Well, parables, especially the ones that we get in Matthew 13, that come out of Jesus' lips, are not moralistic tales. They are the other kind of story, the story whose whole purpose is to proclaim that not everything is explainable. Parables were spoken to explain truths that could not be put into words another way. They are like metaphors for experience, metaphors for wonder. They live in the realm of arts, not science. They are not like allegories. They're not one-for-one representations like Pilgrim's Progress, maybe one of the most famous Christian allegories, but they are rich narratives, kind of like Lord of the Rings, where every person can assign different meaning to different parts. Truly, we don't read parables as if we could master them, but rather parables read us. They take our lives as fodder for their truths. They interact with us and where we are. This genre of biblical literature could perhaps fall in wisdom writings. But where they are located and how they fit here in the gospel, they are truly gospel because they tell stories about what the kingdom of heaven is like. They are trying to tell us what this gospel is. They are trying to describe something almost indescribable and unperceivable. Last week, we talked about what this gospel message was. It was what Jesus sent out his disciples to announce as they went. Does anyone remember what the message was? Jovi? The kingdom of heaven is here. It has come near. But what does that mean? What does it look like? We've heard this instruction to go and announce it, but what does that actually look like? The parables tell us what this is like. And at this point in the story, just a few chapters later from where we were last week, a few things have happened. And things aren't going well. The Pharisees have now turned against Jesus. John the Baptist is in prison and is doubting now whether Jesus is the Messiah, sending messages to Jesus asking, "Are you the one, or should we be looking for someone else?" And there are crowds of people following Jesus, but Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, writes his story from a post-Easter perspective. And he's looking back at the crowds with great suspicion, noting that these are the same crowds that who now are following Jesus will one day be the crowds shouting, "Crucify him." So that even the crowds are not really like a good thing necessarily in this context. And that's where we are when we get to these parables of the kingdom, starting today with the parable of the sower. Now, parables often start in sort of an ordinary experience. So I need a child to help me think of what is the ordinary experience that this parable starts in. Any kid know? Where does this parable start? What's the ordinary experience? Preston?
At home.
At home. Well, that's actually good. At home? Yeah. Okay, so maybe before the story, the sower's at home. Okay. Any other ideas? The ordinary experience, Jovi? Sowing seed. That's right. So today, sowing seed may be not so common. Maybe if you work in the garden, in a garden at your house or somewhere else, you've sown seed before. Yeah? Maybe if you're an agricultural worker, you've sown seed. Maybe if you are trying to make your grass better, you pushed one of those little things, a sow seed in the grass. But mostly seeds these days are sown by like machines, big machines. And so sowing seeds today is not really that much of an ordinary experience. And the thing about parables is they go from this ordinary experience, and then by the end, there's something extraordinary that happens, something strange. And I think because we don't have the experience of what is this normal experience in the text, sowing seeds, sometimes we might miss the extraordinary thing at the end. The second part of the parable, the strangeness in this final punchline, the story turns, and at the end we find out that though the sower wasted so much seed on places that didn't have good soil, the harvest was actually way, way, way more than one could ever dream to expect. So in that time, at that place, the normal yield for seeds sown in good soil, a normal yield might have been 7 or 8 times that which was sown. 15 times that which was sown would have been an exceptional yield. Really good. So, a 30, 60, or 100 time yield was a crazy yield. It was crazy. And the twist in this parable is that this sower, who's arguably a bad sower, like just sowing freely, didn't just sow in a place that would have produced, but sowed everywhere, seemingly wasting so much seed. The sower, if we were going to translate the sower to today, we might have said the sower left so much money on the table. We could say the sower didn't capitalize on their opportunities. Even though the sower didn't capitalize on every seed placement, there was at the end still more than enough. The economics of the kingdom of God goes something like this parable. A sower went out to sow seed, and some fell on the road, which was eaten by birds. Some fell on rocky and thorny soil, and some fell on good soil, and there was an abundance. The sower was successful in reaping a harvest, not because he was careful, but in spite of it. The truth is, I wish I could kind of like erase from your minds the last part of our reading today. The last part of our reading is the explanation of the parable, right? That is given in later in Matthew's chapter 13. Because what sometimes this reading does is it makes this parable into a moralistic tale, right? Here's how we interpret this parable. This is the answer to it. And when we make this parable into any parable into a moralistic tale, it loses its power to read us, to offer us wisdom about the kingdom of God breaking into our lives, our city, and our world, and what that looks like. And preaching on parables is a little bit risky, right? Because the parable could not open to us. Sometimes we don't connect with them right away, and other times they open to us in such a way that's so mysterious it's even hard to put words to. But there is not a moral lesson or even a right lesson to what this parable means. So what can someone preaching on it say about it? What I can say is that it speaks of the kingdom of God in a way that requires each of us to become active listeners and participants for it to speak at all. Maybe that's what Jesus meant when he said, "If you have ears, hear." The way that Matthew explains this parable is a reading of it. It is a interpretation that the people of God have had from a certain point in history, looking back on this parable. But parables aren't just for the authors of the books who tell them. They are gifts given to all of us before we were born, and parables tell us what the kingdom of God is like. So I don't know how it will connect to you this morning. But here are some thoughts that I have had as I have thought about this parable this week. One, what if the sower is a midwife? And what if she is like this figure who helps in birthing babies of all kinds? And that even after she sees some of these children and grow up and greatly harm themselves and others, she decides that it doesn't matter. That her place is there helping bring these people into the world regardless. And another thing I've thought this week is, some of you will get this and some of you won't. It's totally fine if you don't. What if the seeds are like the Duggar children? And the sower is like their parents. And I think that if the seeds were the Duggar children, then the parents would only want to sow those seeds in good soil. And that they would do everything they could to control where those seeds went. And that maybe that became a sort of way that those seeds were sort of were adversely affected because they were only given the opportunity to be planted in a certain kind of soil. What if the sower's path was the places we go? You know, like all the companies that your phone is connected to already knows this, right? Because they're GPS tracking you all over the world. Even if you didn't give them permission, I'm still convinced that they're doing it. So we have these regular paths that we follow. And like, we may not be aware of them as much as the internet is aware of them. But what if along the path, we are sowing the seeds of the kingdom of God, and it wasn't dramatic, we're out of the ordinary, it's just an ordinary thing. And what if it's just things like giving out a glass of water, or like taking a nap, or like giving someone a ride, or I don't know, sharing a meal. Maybe it's just an ordinary thing. But impregnated in that soil are the seeds of God's kingdom. And that God's presence grew, some imperceptibly slight, but in the end, when we look back over our lives, we see that actually we received way more than we gave, that we harvested way more than we planted, and there was an abundance of what we got in return, way, 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 way more than what we could have expected. I don't know. Maybe you have different ideas. Maybe you want to create a parable of your own from items in your house. Maybe you would tell the parable a different way. That's the thing about parables. They read us. Let's pray this morning. God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to believe that your kingdom is not only here, is not only close, but what it is like. Help us to know and to be known by your presence. Make us one as you are one, and give us the unique gift of perspective that each of us carries as a gift to the church and to each other. Help us to receive those gifts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.